If you would, take out your Bibles, please. Today,
today
is the second of a two-part mini-series on the rapture. Okay, I have to apologize for my voice. I'm just not well. And you all knew that, but now it's physical as well. And anyway, I know where I was. We're talking about the rapture. Anybody see our Facebook page this week? It is great. Maureen Ruther posts the sermons up on Facebook, and that's a wonderful thing she does for us. And she titles the sermons for me. I don't put a title on my sermons. This one's called The Rapture. And so was last week. During Revelation, they were all called The Revelation. You know, so she puts a title on. And I would not have picked this title, but the title she picked for last week's was When Will the Rapture Be? Okay, I don't think that was the main point of the sermon, but it's okay. Well, the way we always do this, she always puts the title, and then she puts the date of the sermon. So it read, When Will the Rapture Be? 11/15/15. So if you were listening to my voice, you missed it. Yeah. We have now joined a long list of people who predicted the rapture and missed it. Although it's interesting, we predicted on the 17th that it would be the 15th. So that's kind of a little sad. Yeah, as Phil Proctor mentioned, I'll never get rich off of my prophecies. So that's right. Yeah. That's just crazy, isn't it? But I want to start where we left off last week. So the Bible does not tell us much about the timing of the rapture. There just isn't a lot there. Now, God the Father knows exactly when it's going to be, okay? To the split second. He knows when it'll be. He just has not chosen to reveal it much. He has chosen not to reveal very much to us. Now, I know we want to know. I recognize that. It's a huge thing. You can't be a popular pastor with a big radio thing or a television thing unless you have decided when the rapture will be. I know that's an exaggeration, but that's the way it seems sometimes. We really, really want to know when it will be. We want the top, we want to know, but as God expresses the rapture in the Bible, as he tells us things, the Bible doesn't really expound on the timing much. So what does the Bible talk about? Okay? What does the Bible emphasize when it comes to the rapture? So we're going to go back to a slide that we had at the end of the last sermon. The Bible emphasizes that we need to encourage each other. We need to stand firm. We need to keep living for Christ. I mean, which, if we're not, I mean, that implies we have to start. And we need to be ready. The Bible calls for us to keep living the life of a Christian. Keep doing what Christ has asked us to do. Just stay faithful. Keep at it. Now, I mentioned last week that we're going to look today at what Jesus had to say about this. Okay, now that's Matthew chapter 24. So if you would turn over to Matthew chapter 24. I think I also misspoke last week. I think I said it was going to be Matthew 25. My memory says I said that, but it is 24. Now this text can be very confusing. This text is very confusing. And it would be fun to actually do like a couple of month long Bible study just on this whole chapter and take the whole thing apart. Jesus is talking here about the destruction of the temple, which happened in AD 70. He's talking about his second coming. He's talking about the final judgment. All of those are part of this conversation in this chapter. Now, I'm not going to try to attempt any kind of thorough examination of the text. For one thing, we'd be here until like Christmas. But really, we're focusing on the rapture, and that's what we're going to focus on today as we read through this. If anybody would like to try to dig into this, I'd love to sit down with people. Let me know. So we're going to read this the whole chapter, Matthew 24. I'm going to be stopping as we read to kind of add some commentary here and there, help you kind of see where this is going. I'm sure I will not answer anywhere near all your questions because we're specifically talking about the rapture today. So, Matthew 24, verse 1. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Okay, so now right there, see, those are the questions that Jesus is going to answer. Questions about the destruction of the temple that Jesus just said was going to happen. Questions about Christ's coming. Questions about the end of the age and the final judgment. So Jesus is talking about all of those in this chapter. And it can be hard to discern which is which sometimes. Verse 4. So Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come." Okay, so stop there. There are going to be false Christs, but don't believe them. He's going to come back to this topic, talking about false messiahs. He'll come back to that later. Verse 7. "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved." I'm going to stop there again. There's a huge point Jesus starts to make right now. He's going to repeat it. Stand firm to the end. There's going to be persecution. And certainly the disciples saw that. We know that in history. There's going to be hatred of believers. The people listening to him saw that. Many will turn away. There will be hate. There will be deception. It's not going to be easy. But stand firm. Keep living for Jesus. Keep spreading the gospel, even when things are bad. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. Keep living for Christ and keep spreading the gospel. See, Jesus continues, verse 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Okay, now this next part reads a lot like what it looked like when the temple was destroyed. Verse 15. "So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath." Now, this next part might apply to when the temple was destroyed. And it could be that this distress that he talks about just continues until Christ's return. So there's this destruction of the temple and distress that just continues through the ages. And you don't have to be much of a student of history to recognize that it just does happen that way. Now, if that's true, if that's the way one would interpret this, and that's one of the ways to take it, after the destruction of the temple, which did happen in AD 70, and also was in the lifetime of those listening, then the next major step in God's redemptive work is Christ's return. It could very well be that what Jesus is saying here is, look, it's going to be really, really bad for you folks. And when Jerusalem is destroyed, you're just going to have to flee. You don't have time to get anything. You're just going to get out with your life. And it's just going to be bad. And then the next work of God is Christ's return, which we're still waiting for. Verse 21. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. Okay, I'm going to stop again. I said Jesus would return to the false Christs, and he does, right there again. He also mentions false prophets who perform great signs and miracles. Now, this is a rabbit trail, okay, so hold up the little rabbit figure. Okay. Phil's supposed to warn me of rabbit trails. Actually, Barb's supposed to. She has a little rabbit puppet she's supposed to hold up. But one of the things Jesus says here, and this is similar to what he says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. Don't place your trust in people because of miracles they perform. That is really, really hard. It is really easy for us to say, you know, look, they just performed a miracle. Of course they're from God. But Jesus says here, there are going to be false prophets who will perform great signs and miracles, but they're false. Fruit, by the way, is what matters. That comes back out of Matthew chapter 7. Fruit of the Spirit is what matters. A life that looks like Christ's, not miracles. Okay. End of rabbit trail. Matthew chapter 24, verse 25. Jesus says, see, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is out in the desert, do not go out. Or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. If you talk about the rapture, you will know when Christ returns. Everybody will know. It will be obvious all around the world all at once. I don't know how that looks. But Jesus is saying, look, people say they saw me over here or over there. Don't believe it, because you're going to know. When lightning flashes, you can see it all over the place. When he comes, you're going to know he's here. Nobody's going to have to tell you. And you won't have to tell anybody. I don't care how deep of a cave you're in. I don't care how deep of a basement you've got walked your way into. I don't care if you're on the moon or on Mars. Doesn't matter. You could be in the U.S. Navy in a submarine down at the bottom of the ocean, and you would know. Now, see, again, I don't know how that looks, but everybody is going to know. Everybody's going to know. But now we're getting ready for a change. I think Jesus now starts talking about his second coming. Verse 28, wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the stress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all nations on earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. And right there is as close as Jesus ever gets to talking about anything like a rapture. His elect will be gathered. From the four winds would be like from the four corners of the earth. They're going to get people from everywhere. Now, he doesn't say they're going to be gathered in the sky, like the Thessalonians passage we read last week. That doesn't mean that we won't be gathered in the sky, but he doesn't say it. I mean, it's not a detail he includes here. Now, I have to tell you, some people think Jesus isn't talking about the rapture at all. And that's certainly possible. Okay? See, if you would accept that the rapture happens either the beginning of the tribulation or the middle of the tribulation or somewhere like that, then what this could be is a final gathering of all believers at Christ's coming. You see, those who were raptured whenever the rapture happened would have been taking up into heaven, as we mentioned could happen last week. And then when Christ returns, he brings along all those who were raptured, and he gathers up the people on earth who have been saved since the rapture. Okay? And now everyone is together. He could be saying that. And there are some who think he is. Now, if that just makes everything confusing, timing-wise, I am glad. It's part of the point. Let's continue. Now, learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So now I think it's pretty clear Jesus is talking about his second coming now. And the gist of this verse, verse 36, I think is clear. Okay? No one knows but the Father. Right? That's what he says. Since no one but the Father knows when Christ will return, not even Jesus, not the angels, then we shouldn't get too hung up about knowing. Right? Jesus is okay with not knowing, it seems. So why aren't we okay with not knowing? Faith means resting on God, resting on his goodness, resting on his wisdom. He's going to do it right. Verse 37. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Jesus' point again, keep watch, Stay ready. You don't know when Christ is coming back. This is his favorite theme of the whole thing. He's going to make his point completely clear with two examples now. Keep watch. Stay ready. You don't know when Christ is coming back. Verse 43, Jesus says, but understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. Third time he says it. Be ready. Now maybe we should ask ourselves at this point, how many times does Jesus have to repeat this point until we get it? Be ready. Verse 45. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, my master is staying away a long time. And he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour when he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The last example seals everything up that Jesus is trying to tell him. The good servant is always ready. The good servant doesn't have to worry or wonder when the master will return. Doesn't matter. He's always ready. He's always being faithful. He's doing what he's been told to do. Jesus Christ is coming back. Sometime. Maybe today. Jesus Christ is coming back. And when he does, he's going to set everything right. Everything. Those who are his followers will be saved. Those who are not followers of Christ will not be saved. An eternity in heaven, life with God, awaits Christ's followers. So let us keep encouraging each other. I think it is dangerous, certainly counterproductive, to focus too much on when Christ might come back or when the rapture would be. I understand we want to know. There's a lot of things we want to know. But if we focus too much on timing, we miss the point. Be ready. Just be ready. Be ready if he comes now. And be ready if he comes now. And now, and you get the point, or should I just stay in here for the next 10 minutes and say, and now, and now, anyway, that gets kind of old. My voice might give out first. Let us keep encouraging each other. Let us help each other stand firm. Let us help each other keep living for Christ. That's what a church is all about. Helping each other and reaching out to those who don't yet know him. Let us help each other to be ready always, so that we are ready when Christ returns. We're going to close the service with a final song. If the worship team wants to come up, while they come up, I'd like to offer a prayer. Lord God, help us to be ready, to keep watching for you, to be ready for you to come at any time. Help us, Lord, to stand firm. May we take the words that you have given us to heart. In Jesus' name, amen.